Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda. If you enjoy and benefit from listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free with you, and your donation ensures that we are always able to do so. Each podcast we produce has tens of thousands of listeners, so the opportunity for gaining immense reward by supporting this effort is endless, inshallah. You never know who will be able to benefit from your contributions and donations. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة فجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وارض اللهم عن سادتنا أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن تابعيهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أقول زورا أو أغشى فجورا أو أقول قولا بغير علم أو أكون بك ربي مغرورا عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد Inshallah, I want to begin this khutbah the way I like to begin every khutbah, and that's with a reminder about your intention and purpose. And specifically, your intention and purpose with regards to this prayer. Whether it's something that you've been doing your entire life, it's something that's become a habit of yours, or you've recently just started coming to the Friday prayer. It's important for everyone to take an opportunity and clarify why you're here. And if you make your intention pure, then you get exactly what you intended for. And the intention that all of us should have with regards to this prayer is that we are here answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When He says in the Quran about this prayer, He says, فَسَعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ He says to all of us, he commands all of us to rush towards a remembrance of Allah. So make that your intention, so that every second that you spend parking and walking over to the masjid, and this special time that you've taken out of your day, that normally, and on any other day of the week, the masjid would not be this full. This many people would not be here. So make that your intention for being here, so that all this time is counted as time spent in the remembrance of Allah. And the second reminder, as we're going to look through a passage of the Qur'an, it's important for us to understand what the objective and purpose of the Qur'an is. There's a lot of things that you can answer if someone asks you, why do you recite the Qur'an, or what is the point behind this? And there's a lot of things we can say. When you recite it, you get reward. Every single letter gives you such and such reward. There's many ahadith about this. But first and foremost, we have to understand the core objective. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right at the beginning of the Qur'an, He tells us this is hudan lil muttaqin. This is guidance for people who are conscious of Allah. That's the number one objective of the Qur'an, is to guide us. It's supposed to give us directions. It's supposed to tell us what is right and wrong. And when we listen to the Qur'an, or we're trying to gain benefit from what is mentioned in the Qur'an, it's important for us to remember this fact, that whatever is being said, whatever message is being conveyed, and whatever effort is being made, it's all so that we can come closer to Allah. And it's a message from your Creator, the one who created you and knows you better than anyone else. He's giving you this guidance. So when you hear anything and you want to implement it, think about yourself first. Because a lot of times what happens is, we're like, man, that khutbah or that thing, so-and-so should have been there. They really need to hear that. Man, I wish my kids were here. They could benefit so much from this. And while all of that is probably true, first and foremost, we have to start thinking about ourselves. We have to take control of ourselves first, to gain benefit, grow, and then help others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-A'raf, He talks about the story of the creation of Adam alayhi salam. And this is a story and this is an incident that is mentioned in many places in the Qur'an. And in every place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us a different perspective. A different aspect of that incident is highlighted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah A'raf, He starts off in ayah number 11 by saying, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we created all of you. And then we fashioned you and molded you into this perfect form. This is the form that you and I are obsessed with. What our culture and society is obsessed with. We love looking at ourselves in the mirror, making sure every single thing looks perfect. This form, this face, this body that we are obsessed with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in that form. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after He created Adam alayhi salam, He commanded all of the angels. He told all of them to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. And I want you to think about this. This is a very visual representation. Because when we read this, oftentimes we're not really thinking much. We're just reading words. But think about what's happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding a sea of angels to prostrate. And then Allah continues to say, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they all prostrated except for Iblis, except for Shaytan. He was not amongst those who did sajda. And now I want you to think about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a direct order and command to all of the angels. And if you're watching this, you don't even have to wait till the person who didn't fulfill the command to say, I don't want to do this. They don't have to profess their disobedience. They showed it in their actions. You can see very clearly. Why? Because everyone else fulfilled the command except for this one. And when this happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addresses this one. The one who did not fulfill the command. And in this exchange between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Iblis, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn. And what I want you to think about as you're listening to this dialogue and this exchange, especially when you're listening to Shaytan, and listen to how he justifies his disobedience. Because remember, the first thing that's happening now is Allah gives him a direct order and he disobeys. And now it's important to listen to how he justifies that, because a lot of times you and I fall into the same thought process. So when you're hearing that, think about, when do I think like that sometimes? When do I fall into that trap? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to Iblis, he says to Shaytan, after he doesn't prostrate, he says, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses him directly and says, what prevented you from prostrating when I commanded you to do so? When I ordered you to do so, why didn't you do it? And then he responds, he says, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. He says to Allah, he says, I'm better than him. You're asking me to lower myself to him, to prostrate to him, but I'm better than him. And then the next words are really interesting, because he says to Allah, you created me from fire and you created him from clay. He acknowledges Allah as his creator. He doesn't have any issues in belief yet. He says, Allah, you created me with fire. You gave me this. You made me in this form. And you created him from clay, so I'm better than him. How many times do we fall into that trap? How many times do we think because of something that Allah gave us, something that we had no control over, some ability, some talent, some skill, something Allah gave you, whether you were born in a certain race, whatever it is, and you think you're better than someone else? We see this in society all around us, and we see how many problems this simple thought process and this arrogance leads to. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to him. Allah says, قَالَ فَهْبِطْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا فَخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, get out of here. You're done, get out of this place. Because we have to remember that Iblis, Shaytan, he was given this honor of being in the company of angels, even though he wasn't an angel. He was a very righteous jinn. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him. And he gave him the company of angels. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, you're done. You have to leave now because there's no room for your arrogance in here. This honor that you were given, this company that you were given, you betrayed it. Because you are arrogant and now there's no room for that in this space. In this sacred space, there's no room for that. Get out. You, in fact, are amongst the lowly people. Because you think you're so great. How does one become arrogant? The only way we feel this feeling of arrogance is if we think we have something more. We elevate ourselves to this place, to this deluded place of having something that we really don't have, or this superiority that we kind of invent in our minds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to cut that off, he says, you think you're so great. This arrogance that you're experiencing and feeling and acting upon, you need to realize, إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. You are from the lowly people. And then he responds to Allah. Now remember, at every stage, there's an opportunity for him to say, I'm sorry, I should have prostrated and fallen to obedience. There's so many opportunities for that. But what we find over and over is that he keeps digging his grave further. He responds to Allah and he says, قَالَ أَنْظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He recognizes that he's done. He recognizes that now that he's been kicked out of this noble company, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, you're from the lowly people, he knows it's over for him. And he has an opportunity here. He could seek forgiveness. He could turn back to Allah, but he kind of embraces that. He just says, you know what? I'm doomed. It's fine. And then he says to Allah, oh Allah, give me time until the day of judgment. I know I'm going to be punished. I know it's over for me. But don't destroy me yet. Don't punish me yet. Give me time until the day of judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ. Indeed, you've been given that time. That time that you're asking for, it's yours. Again, he seals his own fate. And then he says to Allah, and this is something very interesting. He says to Allah, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He says to Allah, because you allowed me to be misguided, because you allowed me to stray, I'm going to sit firm by the straight path. Look at what he's doing here. He makes a decision to be disobedient to Allah, and then he blames Allah for his disobedience. He doesn't take responsibility for his actions. How many times do we fall into that thought process? Where we say, there's a few things we think sometimes, you know what, if Allah wanted me to pray more, He would motivate me to do that. If He wanted me to donate, if He wanted me to do this, then He would push me towards that. And again, we don't want to take any responsibility. We run from responsibility. If Allah didn't want me to sin, if He didn't want me to do that, then He would push me away from that. Again, wiping away all responsibility from ourselves. And that's exactly what Shaytan does here. And he says, because you misguided me, I'm going to sit firm by Sirat Mustaqim, by the straight path. And I want you to think about this. He tells us what he's going to do next. He says, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. He says, and then I'm going to come at them from every direction. I'm going to come at them from the front and from the back, from the right and the left. I'm going to surround them. And think about this, the dua that we make every single day in prayer. We say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. We're asking Allah, guide us to the straight path. Every time we stray, every time we go away, bring us back. And Shaytan is saying he's going to wait by that straight path, the destination that you and I are seeking. He's waiting there, and he has a singular objective for us to join him. To prove that, you know what, there's others like me. And that's his singular objective. He says, I'm going to wait for them and I'm going to surround them. And then he tells us his ultimate goal. And it's important to know the goal of your enemy. You need to know what they're trying to do so that you can be safe from it. He says to Allah, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He says to Allah, you'll see that most of them will be ungrateful. Most of them will fall into this same trap that I fell into. He says the core of what he's trying to do. He's trying to get us to be ungrateful. And we need to think about this on many levels. Think about what happened to Shaytan. Why did he lose that huge blessing and honor that he had? He was in the company of angels. He was given this high honor. And what happened? He saw that another being was also being honored. He saw that Adam alayhi salam was created. All the angels were commanded to prostrate to him. And when he saw that, it didn't sit well with him. He said, why don't I have that? Why is he being honored more and why am I not being honored more? Instead of looking at all the honor that he has, instead of looking at the huge favor that Allah gave him, he started looking elsewhere. He couldn't appreciate and he couldn't be grateful for what he had. And then mix that with arrogance. The arrogance that comes from that. The arrogance that comes from that ingratitude. And look at the ultimate disobedience that he falls into. And we have to think about it in this way. That if we are ungrateful, we will go down this same path. When we're ungrateful for the blessings of Allah, it's easy for us to be disobedient to Allah. Now what I want you to do as we sit between the two khutbahs, think about this ultimate trap of Shaytan. He tells us what he's going to do. This is my plan. My plan is to make sure that all those people, all of them are ungrateful to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to him at the end of it. Allah says to him, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْءُومًا مَدْحُورًا لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah responds to him when he says, I'm going to wait there and you're going to find most of them are ungrateful. Allah says, get out of here, you're done, you're disgraced and you're condemned, it's over for you. And then he says to him, whoever follows you, whoever falls into this trap, they're going to join you in the hellfire. And we have to think about that. We have to see that that goal, if we fall into that trap of ingratitude, and we define our lives by that, then we'll have the same outcome as Shaytan. So as you sit between the two khutbahs, think about something you've been ungrateful for. Think about something you haven't acknowledged yet. And take a moment and make dua to Allah and be grateful for everything that He has given you. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي آمين. In the first part of the khutbah, we looked at the incident of the creation of Adam alayhi salam and the disobedience of Shaytan when he could not get himself to prostrate, could not get himself to fulfill the command of Allah. And we looked at the exchange and the dialogue between Shaytan and Allah, and we learned so many lessons from that. And the ultimate lesson is, we learn what his objective is. He says at the end of it all, the objective is, oh Allah, you'll see most of them will be ungrateful. And when we think about this, there's a natural question that comes after that. The question is, well, what is gratitude? What does it truly mean to exercise shukr? Because a lot of times we say, do shukr. And they say, what does that mean? It means to be thankful, to be grateful. And we've never really thought about it, tried to dissect it. And the scholars, they mention so much detail on every single one of these concepts. And they define gratitude, they define shukr, as acknowledging and understanding a blessing that you've experienced, and then expressing gratitude for that. You can't just be grateful for the sake of being grateful, but the most beautiful gratitude is thinking about some favor that you've been blessed with, something that's come your way, and acknowledging it and appreciating it, and then being grateful to the one that gave that to you. In the description of Ibrahim alayhi salam, one of the descriptions in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, he says, شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِ. He says that he was grateful for the blessings that he was given. Whatever you were blessed with, everything that came your way, you have to take a moment to think about it and understand that no matter what avenue it came to you from, whether you put in the effort, whether someone gave you something, ultimately everything came from Allah. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't will that for you, if Allah didn't allow it to come your way, it would never reach you. And this is a fundamental aspect of our belief. That whatever is meant for us, whatever is supposed to come to us, it comes because of the will of Allah. And whatever we weren't able to get, we didn't get it also because of the will of Allah. And we have to embrace that. So every blessing that we experience, we have to be grateful to Allah for it. Now, how can we become people of gratitude? How can we implement and how can we try to not fall into that trap? The trap that we just heard, directly from Shaytan, what his objective is. How do we save ourselves from that trap? How do we become people of gratitude? The first thing that we can do, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us, لَا يَشْكُرُ اللَّهَ مَنْ لَا يَشْكُرُ النَّاسِ. He says that you cannot be grateful to Allah. Someone cannot be grateful to Allah unless they are grateful to the people. If you can't show gratitude to the people around you, to the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your life, the blessings, every single person in our life is a blessing from Allah. Any good that we experience from those around us, if we can't be appreciative of that, then we're not being appreciative of Allah. Because again, that fundamental understanding, even those people in your life, the reason they do good for you or they're favoring you is because Allah put them there for you. And if we cannot appreciate people around us, if we can't appreciate the little things, then we can't be appreciative of Allah. And the opposite is true as well, and it's important to think about this. Just because we're being grateful to Allah, doesn't mean we've fully committed ourselves to gratitude. We have to be grateful to those around us. The second thing you and I can do is try to incorporate gratitude into your dua. A lot of times we think of dua as just asking for what you want. I need this thing, I need to seek something, I want something, so I'm going to make dua to Allah and He's going to give it to me. And that is true, that is the nature of dua. But to make the most beautiful dua, if you can incorporate gratitude into that, incorporate before you ask for whatever you want, thank Allah for everything He has given you. Think about specific blessings that you experience. Something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. Be very specific. Go through your day, think about your life. Think about every aspect of it and try to look at it from a lens of gratitude. And when you think about that, be thankful to Allah, the one who gave you everything. And a lot of times we fall into this trap. We let one aspect of our life define the entire thing. If we're struggling in one aspect of our life, you have difficulty at work, you have difficulty in finding income, or you have difficulty in one aspect of your life, we start defining our entire life by that one situation. We start becoming blind to the blessings in every other aspect of our life. Even just waking up, having another day to live, another opportunity to do right in your day, that is a huge blessing from Allah. And we have to kind of break ourselves out of that mold of letting one thing encompass our entire life. And if you make this a part of your life, and you try to exercise this gratitude in your dua, you'll experience that contentment and happiness. And there's so much research on this. And I could sit here and I could cite you a bunch of research that's being done on the benefits of gratitude, how much contentment and happiness comes from that. But instead, what I want you to do is just take the words of the Prophet ﷺ and just try it. Even if you're not fully committed to it yet, you don't fully buy in yet, just take it as the words of the Prophet ﷺ and try it for yourself. Do an experiment and see what happens. See what happens. Do it for a week. Be very specific in your dua. Try to be grateful for every little thing. Dig deep. And see what you experience in the next few weeks. And the last thing is, what is the best way to show gratitude? And this is an important lesson. And we learn this from the Prophet ﷺ. There's many narrations of the Sahaba mentioning that the Prophet ﷺ used to stand in prayer for very, very long time. And especially towards the end of his life, he used to stand in the night and pray for such a long time until his feet would become swollen. Imagine you were standing in one place. How long you have to be standing there for your feet to become swollen. And when he would finish his prayer, the Sahaba would ask him, "Why do you stand for so long? Why are you praying so much?" Right? Because we see prayer as kind of like an adjustment or a redo. We made a mistake, so we got to pray. I messed up somewhere, so I need to pray. So they said to the Prophet ﷺ, "Why do you pray for so long? All of your past misdeeds are forgiven, and anything that is to come is forgiven. So why do you pray so much?" And the Prophet ﷺ, he responds, "أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا." He says that, "Shouldn't I then be a grateful servant?" And we learn from this that the ultimate way to show gratitude to Allah is through obedience to Allah. That our obedience to Allah needs to be framed in that light. That it's not just a task that we have to do. It's not just this burden that we have to fulfill. But we pray and we are obedient to Allah to show and express our true gratitude to Allah. It's an opportunity every single day to do that. And again, it's a shift in mindset and perspective. Instead of looking at it as a burden and a huge responsibility, start framing it as an opportunity to be grateful to Allah for everything that He has given us. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us people of gratitude, makes us people that turn to Him constantly. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيدكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة